taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me. I'm hoping you're looking for freedom. You're learning to be a free citizen in a wonderful country, and you're willing to fight to keep that freedom and liberty. You know, I'm sure we're all familiar at this point with the story of the boy who cried wolf. It's a very simple precautionary tale. If you lie, eventually people stop paying attention to you. Put another way, there's a saying I'm familiar with, says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, I've modified that saying to say, fool me 10,000 times, and, well, I'm probably an American voter. Why is that? Well, because we have been lied to over and over and over again, yet the American people as a whole never seem to learn. Oh, there are individuals that learn, and there are others that seem to fall into that same trap over and over again, but as a whole, we never seem to learn the lesson that people are lying to us, that the people we hire to exercise our rights are lying to us. Now, we know this intellectually, right? All I have to do is ask a question. How can you tell when a politician is lying? No matter where or when I ask this question, the response is always some variation of their lips are moving, they're speaking. I heard one person even say they're breathing. And we laugh at it. But have you ever stopped to think, what does it say about the American people that we not only hire people we know are lying to us to represent us, to exercise our inherent power in our name, but the ones that do it, that lie the best, are the ones we keep around the longest? It seems the ones that tell the biggest whoppers are the ones that get reelected over and over and over again. And it seems that no matter how often they show themselves to be unworthy of our trust, we turn back and trust them again and never seem to learn the lesson. So let's take a look at some examples of, well, we'll call them bureaucrats who cried wolf and still are. Now, one example is this is a Florida doctor, a Leland Stillman, who is, as he's standing up against the continued propaganda coming out of state and national medical boards. Now, understand, a lot of people think that medical boards are important for safety, as if somehow being approved by a government is better than being approved by, some other trusted agency. So we have these state and federal medical boards that seem to be reinforcing the same information. The basic rule is if you spread quote unquote disinformation or misinformation about COVID-19, they're going to take disciplinary actions. Of course, they don't specify what is disinformation or misinformation or who determines what is disinformation or misinformation. Kind of an important thing, isn't it? Now, I'm going to focus here on a report from the Tennessee Medical Board of Medical Examiners, who's adopted a process from the Federation of State Medical Boards. Their policy is they want to bring disciplinary actions to physicians who disseminate what the board classifies as misinformation. Okay. Well, in the September 21st meeting, while they were discussing this, one board member asked, well, who determines what constitutes misinformation? Well, the answer was, well, they refer to an investigative process that require the doctor to show proof from, quote unquote, recognized academic medical journals that support the doctor's opinion, with the state having the burden of proof. Well, all right, that's not too bad. Of course, here's the one concern that I have. How many of these organizations are influencing what these medical journals are putting out? For example, I've already talked about articles from The Lancet and AMA that have been pulled for political reasons. So here you have bureaucrats, government bureaucrats, professional organizational bureaucrats, and they're saying you have to follow our routine. Well, the only routine they seem to approve of is the vaccine, completely ignoring the risks of the vaccine. The vaccine is the only approved process. Well, Dr. Stillman began prescribing ivermectin when he began seeing reports that it was successful with COVID-19 patients that other physicians have. Now, I've heard reports, and again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a virologist. As I understand it, the point of ivermectin is actually the working of zinc. Zinc will inhibit the replication of the virus, but zinc cannot easily get into the cell itself. Products like ivermectin allow the zinc to enter the cell where it can inhibit the replication of the virus, which explains to me why a basically an antiparasitic treats a virus. It's not so much that it's ivermectin itself, as I understand it. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV, but it helps the zinc do its job. It's the best way I understand it from people I have talked to, people who know a lot more about this than I do. But what happens? So we have people that have used ivermectin. We have studies that show, or we have examples where ivermectin as part of a treatment program works. So you have a podcaster, Joe Rogan. He gets COVID-19. He treats it with ivermectin and he lets people know. And he's excoriated in the media. I mean, there are number of clips of people saying he's taking horse dewormer. Well, okay, yeah, there's a form of ivermectin that is used to deworm horses. It's not what he was taking. So ivermectin, not only is ivermectin, is there a version approved for human use that is quite successful for human use. I believe the inventor of it actually won a Nobel Prize for this. Of course, then we got Rolling Stone, who said, "Oh, wow! This local media in Oklahoma told us that there are doctors claiming that people were overdosing from farm grade ivermectin and causing emergency rooms to fill up, leaving no room for gunshot victims. Oh my God! People are going crazy and they're sucking on horse paste." Well, except they had to update their article because a spokesperson for Northeast Health Systems, where this doctor was working, said there was no overcrowding. We've not treated anyone for an ivermectin complication. They're lying. They're crying wolf, but yet we still listen to these people. Of course, I haven't listened to CNN or Rolling Stone for decades. Well, Rolling Stone for decades, CNN for many, many years. See, what we have are these bureaucrats that have a position to push. Now, I don't know why they want to prefer the vaccine to what appears to be treatment. I certainly have my own guesses. The answers are quite simple. You see, ivermectin is cheap, and the vaccines are expensive. And the other medical treatments, the remdesivir, very expensive. And I'm familiar with this. My wife takes a couple of fairly exotic medications. And I remember the first time we started taking these, you know, it was covered by insurance, but I was curious what this stuff actually cost. And it's nuts. So I would not be surprised if the answer is, okay, it's more, you know, hey, we make more money off of it. And we want to, you know, these people help fund political campaigns of our, or the people that hire us. So yeah, we'll promote that because it makes them money and the gravy train will keep going. But the idea that your physician, your doctor who knows your specific condition is not allowed to tell you about something that's not signed off and approved by a federal government bureaucrat, I'm sorry, then the entire medical practice is broken. If a doctor's license can be threatened for using a human-approved drug in something that has been shown to be effective to treat a disease that they say is such a scary pandemic, we literally had to shut down the economy to deal with it, well, then they're idiots. I mean, I'm sorry. That system is broken. Now, I've had my own issues with the medical world in dealing with COVID and other recent issues. But you know what? I still have a doctor, and I've talked to that doctor and says, yeah, if these are the things we can do, this is what we've seen in our clinic. These are we've seen so many people that have had COVID. Here's how we treated it. Here's been the outcomes. These are what we recommend. That is practicing medicine. Saying, well, I'm sorry, the CDC says we have to do this. That's not practicing medicine. That's acting as a vassal. It simply says, you know, we're going to do what the bureaucrats tell us, no matter how often they've been shown to be lying to us, whether that be a government bureaucrat lying to us that the vaccine is effective or that the vaccine is the only solution or that the vaccine is going to prevent you from getting COVID, or it's the bureaucrats in the media that are lying about ivermectin and other treatments and basically ignoring the simple basic treatments of the disease that have been shown to be effective. I mean, let's face it. How many times have you heard some bureaucrat or some politician say that the vaccine is safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective? Well, okay, except there's a recent study out of the Mayo Clinic that say people who receive the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you know, the single shot vaccine, the one I believe is still based on a traditional vaccine process, they are likely to experience certain types of blood clotting issues greater than individuals in the general population, at least those before the start of the pandemic. Okay, so if you take the J&J shot, your chances of blood clotting issues go up. Now, is that safe? Well, that kind of depends on your medical history, doesn't it? I mean, if you've got a history that does not involve issues with blood clotting, maybe that's an effect. Maybe that is safe for you. If, on the other hand, you have an issue with blood clots, that may be extremely dangerous to you, which is why this blanket idea of safe and effective is horse paste, to pick up on the previous piece. Because the research at the Mayo Clinic studied information from Olmsted County, Minnesota. Don't know why they picked one, but they studied between the years of 2001 and 2015. And you know what they found? Individuals who received the vaccine, the J&J vaccine, were 3.5 times more likely to develop cerebral venous sinus thrombosis, or CVST, than everybody else. It's the entire population, if you got the jab, 3.5 times more likely. Now, a CVST is basically a blood clot that occurs in the brain, in the veins and sinuses of the brain. That doesn't sound like a good thing to me. It prevents blood from exiting the brain. That doesn't sound like a good thing to me. And if I'm 3.5 times more likely, now, 3.5 more times more likely than what? That should be an important question to ask. Well, according to the Mayo Clinic study, Olmsted County reported 2.46 cases of CVST per 100,000 people. The group that got the vaccine were 8.65 cases per 100,000. Now, if you're talking, let's round it. Let's think at 9 cases per 100,000. That is 0.009%. So we're not talking about a truly dangerous risk. It's one of those, you got lies, darn lies, and statistics. Here's one where statistics can scare the pants off of you. 3.5 times greater sounds great. You're still talking an extremely small chance of getting this. But again, if you are prone to these, if you have a history that says these may, that you're more likely to get these, I wouldn't want to take that chance, would you? Which is what a lot of these arguments about the vaccine mandates are about. You see, this blanket, everybody must go, everybody must get vaccinated. This socialist Marxist idea that everybody has to get exactly the same treatment is dangerous. It doesn't take into consideration a person's medical history. So, you know, you're one thing to look and say, okay, overall, the overall population has a 0.003% chance. So if it goes from 0.003 to 0.009, that's relatively, I mean, that's not a big deal. But what if your medical history says your chances aren't 0.003%? What if it's 3%? 3%, 3.5 times. Well, that's almost 10% chance. That's a 1 in 10 chance you're going to get a blood clot in your brain. What if you have serious problems? What if your chances of getting one of these is 30% normally? And you take the vaccine and it grows by 3.5 times. See, that's the problem with mandates, is it completely ignores an individual's medical history. Now, it's important that we understand the statistics, that we put them in context, but it's more proof that this repeated safe and effective, well, that may be generally true, but is it true for the individual? Is it the right answer for the individual? So I've described this before, right? Talking with a physician's assistant, asking if we'd gotten our vaccines. And I told her, no, I'm not taking an experimental drug for a disease I have a 99.5% chance of surviving. I'm not going to let somebody rewrite my portions of my DNA. That's what the mRNA does. I'm not going to take a vaccine that, as I understand it, was developed using aborted fetal tissue. I have that issue too. For a disease that my odds are pretty good. But you see, apparently that physician's assistant hadn't been reading the data on the safety and efficacy of the vaccine or on the lethality of COVID-19, because she was incredulous until I told her, no, I'm looking at the CDC data. I went to the CDC website. I look at their data based on my weight, my age, my health, 99.5%. And if I get some basic treatment, probably even better than that. But we're back to this, hey, am I allowed to look at my own health situation, make my own decision about risk and rewards? You don't want to hear that. And then, of course, we have the CDC director, Walensky. And I love this. So even though they are pushing to experiment on our children with these quote-unquote vaccines, I'll talk about that in a minute. But they've approved the Pfizer vaccine. They've given an EUA. Let me get this word right. They've approved an emergency use authorization for the Pfizer vaccine for children from 5 to 11. Even though the FDA committee that reviewed this says, we really don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how safe it is until we start giving it. So they want to experiment on your children. But yet the CDC director still says children should wear masks. Now, I have one simple point. I'll start treating COVID as a serious threat when the people that are telling me it's a serious threat start acting like it's a serious threat. I mean, so here we have the CDC director saying, listen, we know you're getting the vaccines, but you should still wear masks. So you're telling me the vaccines don't work. Because if a vaccine did what a vaccine does, which is prevent you from, that's the definition. It prevents you, it gets your body your immune system to react to it to prevent you from getting the disease. It doesn't do that. That's why they want you to wear a mask. But you say, I know the masks don't work because they tell you not only do you have to wear a mask, everyone else has to wear a mask. Well, if the mask works, what do I care what everybody else does? If the mask worked, I wear a mask, I'm fine. If I don't wear a mask, I take my chances, that's up to me. But we have these people that are basically telling us the masks work, but they don't really work. And the vaccines work, but they don't really work. So you got to use both the mask and the vaccine, hoping that maybe, well, that will really work. Anyone else hearing someone crying wolf? I mean, I'm sorry, this shouldn't take a leap of logic to do this. And again, we're talking about children as young as 5. So the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices unanimously voted to authorize Pfizer's COVID vaccine. Okay, cool. It's actually an EUA, but we want to get that right. even though data suggests that kids are lower risk of dying from COVID than from the seasonal flu. You see, that doesn't stop them from experimenting on your children. They've authorized this, even though their own committee members have admitted that we will not know the impact on children until we've actually started giving it to them. That's called human experimentation. That is, and my question is, are the before the parents of these children are given these injections, are they being given informed information so they can have informed consent? See, the law that authorizes an emergency use authorization requires that you be told it's an emergency use authorization, it's not a fully approved drug, that you be told the both the benefits and dangers, including possible but not sure dangers, and that you be given that you be told that you have the authority to refuse or accept the inoculation. But you see, we're not being told that. We're being told you got to take it. As the CDC Director Walensky said, it is our ongoing responsibility to make sure as many people as possible are vaccinated and protected from COVID-19. But we've already shown that it doesn't protect you from COVID-19. Look at the UK study. Look at the Israeli study. Those are two of the most highly vaccinated countries in the world. In fact, I believe it's Israel's number one and the UK are number two. Yet they're still seeing infections among the vaccinated. And in fact, I believe the UK report said that something like 2/3 of the hospitalizations for COVID were among the vaccinated. So if we're looking at the data, is Ms. Walensky lying to us or just not well enough informed to understand this? And again, why would I expose my child? Now, my daughter is fully grown. She's an adult now. But why would I expose my child to a treatment that we do not know the long-term effects on, that the CDC and the FDA admit that they won't know until they experiment on our children, for a disease they are less at risk for than the seasonal flu? We've had flu for decades, folks. We're not talking Spanish flu, swine, the basic, everyday, ordinary seasonal flu. Every year, we have this flu. Every year, people are, you know, they're out there screaming, get your flu shot, get your flu shot. I haven't gotten a flu shot. But I'm supposed to expose my child. You're supposed to expose your child to a biologic, a treatment without long-term studies. They haven't been around long enough for long-term studies. Because some bureaucrat told you, the sky is falling. There's wolves here. You got to do it. It's necessary. Well, as William Pitt the Younger said, necessity is a plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves. If you believe that the vaccine is safe and effective, why do we keep finding out, there are conditions where it's not safe and there are conditions where it's not effective? How about you let me make my own decision? Oh, no, everybody's got to do it. Why? Because you're telling me the vaccine doesn't work? Well, if I don't get the vaccine, they're telling me you will get sick. If I don't get the vaccine, you will get sick. Well, that just tells me the vaccine doesn't work. If the vaccine doesn't work, why would I experiment on myself? See, this is the irrational a component of what we're dealing with. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is nothing new. This, while the COVID vaccine is only a couple of years old, the COVID scaredemic is only a couple of years old, this idea of scaring you into doing something, ignoring the data, and then just ignoring all the past facts, this is nothing new. This has been going on for decades. I mean, how many of you remember being told when I was a child, I was told that by the year 2000, we would all freeze to death. New ice age, we're all going to freeze to death, and the humankind is over. That was 20 years. That was supposed to happen 20 years ago. Well, how many of you remember being told that by the year 2000, New York City was going to be underwater, or that the oceans would rise feet by 2010 or 2020. You see, the dirty little secret is that all these are people crying wolf. And they simply ignore previous data and just make new outrageous claims, hoping the people will continue to listen. And apparently we do. So, no, I'm not listening to the scary. I'm dealing with the facts that I can find out on the ground. Just because someone's a bureaucrat, they get a government ID and a government login, doesn't mean they have a clue what they're talking about. And I'm sorry, you cannot lie to me over and over and over again and expect me to give anything you say any credence whatsoever. I'm sorry, if these bureaucrats told me the sky was blue, I would go out and double check. If they told me water was wet, I'd have to test it for myself. Because they have lied so often, I can't trust a word they say. And the really scary part of that is we should have learned a lesson from the child's tale about the boy who cried wolf. Because by the time he had a real emergency, when the wolf really showed up, nobody believed him. Now, with the trust in our institutions at an all-time low, the trust in government, in the CDC, in the FDA, in our media, in our judicial process, our legislative process, with our trust in these institutions at an all-time low, what happens if there really is a pandemic? What happens when they turn around and say, oh no, we've got this new disease and 30% of us are going to die, 80% of us are going to die. Who's going to believe them? See, this is not an innocuous little lie and it's just hyperbole. No, this is truly dangerous. This is dangerous because if we cannot trust what people are saying, we stop trusting what people are saying. And when if they do finally tell us the truth, how will we know? And will we know before it's too late? Now you may be asking, what do we do about it, Paul? What can we do? Well, the answer is we have to hire representatives that do their job. You see, these bureaucrats work in positions that are overseen or appointed or approved by our representatives. And if we're not going to require that our representatives are better people, these liars and cheats and thieves are going to continue holding those positions of trust where nobody can trust them. As President Garfield said at our nation's centennial, now more than ever, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If it be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it's because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. The fact that those at the FDA and the CDC, that the FDA is going to approve, of experimenting on our children, that the director of the CDC and the director of the NIH have been allowed to lie to the American people through what they call an international emergency, and they still have their jobs without question, without review, that ultimately is our fault. We hired those people. And it's about time we hold them responsible for their failure to uphold their oath of office. Now, I have to head off to a break. Before I do, please head over to healthycell.com. These new vitamins are made to be absorbed as effectively as possible, not only into your bodies, but at the very cellular level. Even if you're not worried about taking a handful of vitamins, it's a nice way to upgrade your vitamin supplement regimen. Though they have several different formulas, but since I've been talking about COVID a lot lately, one of the best things you can do to protect yourself from COVID is have a healthy immune system. Try Healthy Cells Immune Super Boost. Simple gel. Mix it in a drink. Mix it in food. Take it directly. It will help your body fight off not only COVID, but the seasonal flu and the common cold and everything else we have to deal with. And as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order All you have to do is go to healthycell.com and use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. That's healthycell.com and use the code OUTLOUD at checkout.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL. And use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The America Out Loud family is comprised of patriots in the true sense of the word. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty and the Constitution to help save America for future generations to come. AmericaOutLoud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. I'm glad you could join me. We're talking about bureaucrats who cry wolf. And what are the American people going to do about it? When are we going to stop listening to people that are lying to us? I mean, sure, the CDC admitted earlier this year that 94% of the death numbers they've been reporting for COVID, in other words, of the people, the deaths they report for COVID, 94% of them, at least at that time, were people who died with COVID, not necessarily of COVID. That's not just semantics. So of the people, of the thousands of people they said died of COVID, they list as COVID deaths, 94% of them had an average of 2.5 other causes of death, meaning not simply that they had other diseases. No. It was not simply COVID that killed them. There were other things in their body. They were dying already. COVID may have contributed to it. It may have accelerated it. But we're not dealing with people who are inherently healthy. If you have an average of 3.5 things that are killing you, you can't really be considered healthy. So they've already told us, they've been lying to us about the actual death rate of people from COVID. And then we've got the thing to say, oh, the vaccine is safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. Then if the vaccine is so effective, why did the CDC change the definition of vaccine for the COVID-19 shot? See, the definition, the original definition that the CDC used, what they've been using through most of this event, is a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease, protecting the person from that disease. Now, when you think of a vaccine, that's what you think. That's what I think, right? We talk about mumps, rubella, all of these things we get vaccinations for so that we don't get the disease, right? Protecting the person from the disease. Well, except back in September 1st, the CDC quietly changed the definition. See, the definition now reads as a preparation that is used to stimulate the body's immune response against diseases. What happened to protecting the person from the disease? See, why would they change the definition unless they want to refer to a vaccine that no longer necessarily protected the person from the disease? You want to know why I don't trust these people? Because they don't treat this as a serious situation. Not personally. Oh, they speak a good game out in public. But when they tell us that the vaccine is effective, but they have to change the definition of what effective means in order to make it work, yeah, that's called scientific malpractice. You see, the way things are supposed to work in a scientific method, you have hypothesis. You test the hypothesis. You observe the test, the outcome of the test, and then you change the hypothesis. Well, that isn't what's happening at the CDC. See, they had a hypothesis that these vaccines were actually vaccines, that they stimulated a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease and protect the person from the disease. So they tested it on us, right? They sent it out into the wild. They put it in our arms. They tested it on us. And guess what? They looked at the test and said, this isn't acting like a vaccine. It's not protecting the person from the disease. It's not passing the test. So you know what we'll do? We'll change the test. We'll just say that it doesn't need to protect the person from the disease. It just has to stimulate the immune response. It doesn't have to protect the person from the disease. And I'm supposed to trust these people? They basically just rewrite the definition of vaccine so they can keep calling it a vaccine. And I'm supposed to trust them when they tell me it's safe, too. I'm supposed to ignore the 17,600 deaths reported from the COVID vaccine. I'm supposed to ignore the 86,500 hospitalizations attributed to the COVID vaccine. Why would I trust these people? Why, when I have reports that hospitals are being told, listen, it's not a vaccine death until 14 days after they've received the vaccine. It's not, you haven't died with COVID until it's been 14 days after you got the vaccine. Or that OSHA in their new regulation is going to say, listen, we're going to mandate the vaccine, but you know what? You don't have to tell us if there are adverse reactions. Because we don't want to discourage people from taking the vaccine. I'm sorry. How can you have informed consent when the government is intentionally hiding information from you? And I'm supposed to trust these people. You're supposed to trust these people. In fact, we're supposed to give a darn what these people think and say. How often, how long, how many times will we be lied to before we actually stop listening to these people? Oh, for example, this illegal, immoral private business vaccination mandate coming out of OSHA. It requires that employees be fully vaccinated. Now, that term is important, fully vaccinated. See, because last month, Director Walensky said that, well, the definition of fully vaccinated hasn't changed, but we're continuing to look at this. She said, we may need to update our definition of fully vaccinated in the future. Now, she's since walked that back. She since said that the definition of fully vaccinated has not changed. It's one dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, two doses of either the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines. These vaccines that aren't really vaccines, where they had to change the definition so they could continue to call them vaccines. I want to know, is the Federal Trade Commission going to investigate the CDC for false advertising, for calling these vaccines when they weren't vaccines and then having to change the definition of vaccine to get there? Gee, that'd be interesting. Not holding my breath, not expecting it to happen. And we're supposed to trust you. How many times must they lie to us? How many times they got to move the goalposts? How many times they got to change? How many? Oh, well, let's see. Now you're fully vaccinated. Oh, but now we decide you need another. We've redefined fully vaccinated. You now need another shot. And while we're at it, you know, while you're getting the COVID shot, how about you get the shot with the flu vaccine in as well? So, you know, you may not want the flu vaccine, but we're just going to stick it in there. And you got to take that because that's how you're going to become fully vaccinated. And why not turn around and say, well, we're going to fully vaccinate against whooping cough, against the common cold, against halitosis. How about you get a vaccine against athlete's foot? The very idea that the federal government thinks they have the authority to tell you what medical decisions to make is not only an athlete, it is infuriating. The American people should be standing up going, oh no, we should be having a modern version of the Tea Party. Only instead of throwing the tea overboard, we should simply get together and say, hell no, you will not come at me with that needle. If you come at me with a needle, you are an imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury. I use those words on purpose. Those words have meaning. Because in every state in the Union, a threat, an imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury is the requirement you need to reply with lethal force. I'm not saying I want to fight. I don't want to fight. I want these people to recognize the rights of the American people. I want to recognize their oath to the Constitution of the United States. I want them held accountable for their illegal, deceptive, and misleading comments and actions. See, I don't want to have to fight. I want to find Americans that will hire better representatives, that will hold them accountable, so we can weed out these people. But if you push my back against the wall, I'll fight if I have to. Because the one thing I've learned is that the only thing that stops a tyrant or stops a bully is someone with enough wit, with a will to stand up against them and the willingness to use force if necessary. I may not have raised my right hand and taken an oath to support the Constitution, but I'm a husband and a father, and I have a solemn duty to protect my family, and I will. And I have pledged to my fellow Americans my life, my fortune, my sacred honor to continue to fight for freedom and liberty and rights and the Constitution of the United States. And I will do so. And I hope that I will not do it alone. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's not simply the vaccines and the lies coming out around that. For 4 years, we were told about stolen elections, Russian collusion, the idea that President Trump said that white supremacists were good people, all lies coming out of the media, all proven to be absolute falsehoods. And then after the recent events, we have Democrats in a news conference, House Democrats, part of the Policy and Communications Committee, were asked whether the party needed to change its messaging strategy so that the people could understand why, you know, what's actually in the Build Back Better Act and the quote-unquote Bipartisan Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. In other words, why should the party members actually find a better way to communicate what's in these bills so that the people would better understand why they're a good thing? Well, according to Representative Ted Lieu, who co-chairs the committee, he said it would be helpful if reporters wrote more about what was in the bill. He said, we do in part rely on all of you to convey the truth and actual facts. And if you all want to write about this amazing tax cut for families and children that's really transformative, that would be really helpful. Okay, how about the amazing facts that this is going to cost between $5 and $7 trillion, almost over the few years? And oh, by the way, how about the fact that these numbers, they keep saying, well, no, it's actually down to 1.75. How about the amazing sad fact that the only way they got there is through accounting tricks? How about it works on it's smoke and mirrors? How about it's money that the government doesn't have, which means they're either going to have to tax you or they're going to have to inflate the currency to do it? How about the fact that most of what there are in these bills are not authorized by the Constitution? It's a violation of the 10th Amendment. How about that? You want to trust what comes out of the news media? When they're sitting there going, oh, okay, tell us, you know, maybe we'll give you some advice about how you could do this better. And the response of the people supporting these atrocious bills are, well, if you just told people how amazing they are and ignore the downsides of them, we're supposed to trust the media. You wonder why I don't trust the media? Do you wonder why? You the same media that hid the Hunter Biden scandal from the American people just before the election, the same media that promoted these obvious hoaxes, the same media that covered up the crime of using the FISA court to investigate first a presidential candidate and then a sitting president, we should trust them? I don't trust anything that comes out of the media. Not a darn thing. See, I've been lied to too many times. I've learned my lesson. So what can you do? What can any of us do in the face of all this? And the first thing we have to do is recognize we have to take responsibility for our own information. As Reagan would say, trust but verify. Well, we have to start verifying. And we have to start holding people accountable when they lie to us. You know, in doing this radio program, which, by the way, I love doing the radio program, I have to spend a significant amount of time collecting news from a lot of different sources. And I do pick different sources. Some I agree with more often than not. Some I disagree with more often than not. But regardless of where they come from, I weed through. I'm getting information from different resources, and I'm trying to bring them in, and I'm weeding through them, and I see things that, you know what, they may be interesting, and I research them further. And I've learned that there are some news sources that I have to say what they say with a grain of what they tell me with a grain of salt. You know, it's the headline conundrum. Right? You have a headline that's designed to, you know, really get people's attention, to get them to click the link to read the article or listen to the program. But very often that headline is misleading. And I've learned I have to weed through these. I can't simply put something up because I saw a headline, even if it comes from a source I generally trust. I've also learned that there are sources that I don't trust in general, but I actually find decent information from them from time to time. And that's good. I don't dismiss a source completely simply because I don't find them overall trustworthy. It just means I give them some more scrutiny. But I also have to make decisions. See, one of the things I try to do in this program and on my website, constitutionstudy.com, and even on constitutionscholars.com, is not simply point out the errors in what's been going on, but expose you to things you may not have considered. See, on the website, constitutionscholars.com, you register for free, and there is a community group for each state. And as I'm going through my news collection process, I'm flagging articles that I think might be of interest to a specific state. Maybe it involves some constitutional question about the state or the actions of a specific official in either state or city government. I'm trying to focus on things that are constitutional. I'm not being politically partisan, but I grab them and I put them in those community groups in the hopes of dealing with the lie of omission. So you have the lie commission, where you tell me something that isn't true. Well, it's a lot easier for me to investigate and find out what you're saying isn't true than it is for me to find out you didn't tell me something you should have. You know, the lie of omission. It's why I gather information in lots of different sources. It's why I weed through and filter through them for my own purposes. And then I share that with you so that you have, hopefully, another source. Maybe you encounter something you hadn't thought of before to open the idea of thinking. But even what I tell you, even what I post on the websites, what I say, I want you to be out, feel free, go out and double check. I don't even expect you to trust what I say. I've had several people tell me they really like the show and they love the information, and that's wonderful. I'm glad. But don't take what I say without a grain of salt. It would be hypocritical for me to say, don't trust what you read except if it comes from me. I know a lot of people that do that. I'm not trying to do that. What I want you to do is be critical thinkers. To look at something and say, is that really true? Can I confirm that one way or the other? You know, a good friend of mine always said, you know, when they give you good news, cut it in half. When they give you bad news, double it. And that was his way of dealing with the misinformation and the spinning of information, the boy who cried wolf effect. Well, that's not my way of doing it, but I do want us to investigate. I do want us to consider. And I'm trying to come up with tools that help. And again, one of them is constitutionscholars.com. Scholars with an S. It's absolutely free. Sign up and join the groups and participate. Hey, throw your own information there. You don't just have to be a consumer. If you have an interesting piece of information, a news article, some facts, some data, put them in the groups as well. Let's start this conversation of a free and open discussion of what's going on so that we can burn through the dross and get to the truth, at least as best as we can. Now, I am in Tampa, Florida, and I am doing a series of events called Knowing Your Rights, where I'm helping people understand some of the more critical rights, some of the rights that have been really under attack lately. And that's another way, I think, of doing it. And again, I'm using information that you can easily verify. I'm not pulling some esoteric data out of the ether. So I want people to double check what I'm saying. Now, if you want to find out more, go to constitutionstudy.com/tour. If you can come see me in Florida, that's great. If you would like me to come speak to your group, I'd be more than happy to. I don't charge anything to do it. Just go to that website, constitutionstudy.com/tour. You scroll down, you'll find not only the upcoming event venues, but you can fill out the form and ask that I come speak to your group. I'd be more than happy to. And again, I don't have to necessarily do Knowing Your Rights. I got a bunch of different things. I've been doing sessions lately on the 10th Amendment and vaccine mandates. By the way, that seems to be quite popular. Understanding what the Constitution, the supreme law of the land says about vaccine mandates and what some of our founding fathers, including the Supreme Court, have said about the validity of those mandates. Not specifically those mandates, but the validity of those types of actions. See, these are all meant to get you open your mind and thinking about things. I'm not saying you're closed-minded. I'm saying if you haven't encountered this, it's new. Give it a try. Regardless of whether or not you go to an event or you read stuff off the website, check it out. Get engaged. Look at the possibilities of maybe what you've been told isn't true. We've all heard the saying, what you don't know won't hurt you. Sadly, it's what you know that just isn't so that gets you in real trouble, though. And that's what I'm trying to expose here and on the websites and on the videos and everything that I do. And if you want to find out more, you can go to AmericaOutLoud.com. And you can look under the shows or the schedule and you can find the Constitution Study. And that's where you'll find previous recordings of this program. Maybe you want to listen to it again. Maybe you want to share it with friends and family. Hey, that would be wonderful. If you look under the Our Team banner in the menu, you can find me, Paul Engel. And you can see not only the podcast of the program, but articles and videos that I put out as well. And these are all meant for you to use, and these are all meant for you to share. Because the first way to deal with the boy who cried wolf is to recognize when you're being lied to. So once you realize what the problem is, well, then we can start dealing with it. You start by recognizing you're being lied to. You find a way to weed through to find out the kernels of truth and the dross of noise that is out there. And then hopefully you'll want to engage yourself. You'll want to be involved yourself. You'll want to learn more, study more. And that's where something I'll be doing new next year will be helpful. See, I announced what I'm calling the Constitution Study online. It's going to be an online study of the entire Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, every clause, every phrase. It's going to be an online interactive study. Just like I used to do back up in New York when I first started the Constitution Study, I'll be doing it online for everyone in the nation, anybody that wants to join. And you can find out more by going to constitutionstudy.com/study. You can also pre-register for the event. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take the first three nights I'm going to give away absolutely free. And I'm going to, we'll do the Bill of Rights. We'll cover the entire Bill of Rights. We'll do it in three nights, absolutely free. And you can pre-register. And if you do it now, you get to help pick what days I'm going to do it. Part of the registration program is what days of the week would you like it done? And would you prefer morning, afternoon, or evening? And that'll help tell me when I set this up. I will start it in January of next year. And again, you can find out more what's going to be in it, how it's going to work. Just go to constitutionstudy.com/study. And again, pre-register for the event. Seating is limited. Time is we have some time now, but I'm not going to keep the registration open forever. Once the room fills up, that'll be it. So again, constitutionstudy.com/study and find out more. See, this is the difference between a citizen and a subject. This was the change that happened to me when I first read and studied the Constitution for myself. It was that eye-opening moment when I realized I was not a subject of government. I was its master. That I am not helpless before Washington or my state house or my city council. That there's more than I can do than cast a vote every couple of years. And I'm hoping that you'll find that too. Let's realize that, let's stop pretending like government isn't lying to us. Let's see when we know better. Let's stop pretending that we are helpless and powerless. Let us rise up as our forefathers did, not to overthrow the Constitution, as Abraham Lincoln said, but to overthrow those who pervert the Constitution. Now be sure to make AmericaOutLoud.com your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. See, it's important we share these stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos, and help secure the blessings of liberty to America and her future.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day.